Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of The Brown Briefly. Every week we try to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, some intelligence, humor, and progressive persuasion. Brian's concept of less is more, more or less, always left us wanting more. Let me start out today by just hitting up a couple of historic events before we introduce everyone. 1773, the second voyage of Captain Cook. Now, I thought we might have our co-host Bruce with us today, Bruce Holman, because he is in Australia. And Captain Cook, on his first and second voyage, went all along the east coast of Australia, where Bruce Holman is right now. On this very day, though, the resolution on January 17th of 1773, the resolution was the first ship to venture south of the Antarctic Circle in search of what was believed to be a great southern landmass, maybe even another continent known as Terra Australis or Australis. They didn't find it. It's not there. So, and that's not the kind of ship that Captain Joe, who follows us, was using as an icebreaker, that's for sure. There are some significant birthdays. As a matter of fact, on the show just before this, Truman and Molly O'Brien's Tuesday Morning Scramble, Truman went through a whole list of people who were born on this day. I'm just hitting up three of my top picks. Benjamin Franklin was born in 1706. Betty White, one of my absolute all-time favorite comedians, was born in 1922. And my selection for the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, was born on this date in 1942. This is National Hot Buttered Rum Day. Kevin, did you bring us in any hot buttered rum?
It's in the car.
Okay, good.
Hey, and by the way, you left off two very important people, I think.
Yeah, well, I left off dozens. Who did I?
Michelle Obama.
Yes.
1964.
No kidding. Holy smokes.
It's her birthday. And really, the most important here is George Spurdy.
Oh. I was trying to avoid George Spurdy.
George Spurdy is the guy. He's the guy who invented Preparation H. That's important, you know.
It is to all of us seated around the radio.
Use that on trivia night sometime. This is National Hot Buttered Rum Day. Ditch Your New Year's Resolutions Day. Now that it's the 17th of the month, and Judgment Day. So today you get to be judgy.
You know that ditch your New Year's. I did say why wait.
Yeah, really.
I mean, don't procrastinate on that.
That's right. Let me introduce, I'll introduce actually the people who are sitting here today. Next to me in the Gene Bosch broadcast studio in downtown Vachon is my coughing friend, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas and East Montana devotee, former Army intelligence officer. Keep my mouth closed.
Yes.
And fellow treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Yeah, sorry I was coughing. That at least it's coughing and not coughing. So, you know, I mean.
That's right.
Hello.
It's an important distinction.
Big extinction. Distinction.
Like Truman and I say, it's great to see you. And we always say, well, it's better to be seen than viewed.
Yeah.
Zooming in from the Southern Hemisphere is, he's not here yet. I don't see Bruce yet, the skipper of the Vachona, president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, and guardian of the galaxy. Hopefully, Bruce, he might be able to join us. We'll see as time goes on.
It's 6 a.m. there, by the way, in Melbourne.
Well, that is the land where everything wants to kill you, so hopefully that didn't happen.
That's right.
We're also joined via, not like via Zoom, but here for a change in the studio, I have the defender of democracy, Kevin Jones, of Indivisible Vashon and the Vashon Climate Action Group, who collectively strive to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate.
It is good to be back in the Gene Bosch downtown Vashon studio, I have to admit.
It's great to see you here in person. Thanks, Kevin. This week, our special, it's difficult with this mask. This week, our special small talk guests will be discussing the Vashon-Morey Community Council. I always want to say the Vashon-Morey Island Community Council because that's what it used to be called. So I sort of lapse into that, but it's actually the Vashon-Morey Community Council. What it is, how it's organized, what it can do for the community, and what's on the agenda.
And what it has done already for
that's right. Well, that's great. That's a great idea. Diane Emerson, president of the board.
Yes. Good. Very happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. And board member Jessica Anikar.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We will get to the subject here in just a second. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, former tow truck driver, guardian of Pan American's first 747. Women's shoe salesman, constitutional law professor, Fulbright scholar, and currently suffering under the Dunning-Kruger effect.
I didn't know about the truck driver thing.
Oh, I'm a card-carrying Teamster.
Okay, awesome. You and Richard Folks. Now I can add you both to my list of card-carrying Teamsters.
There you go. All right. I'd like to ask everybody if they have anything in particular they want to say about what they've been up to over the past week. Truman?
Well, from my coughing and all, I came down with this upper respiratory thing. It's not COVID. I've tested, you know, every day for the last 3 days. It's not COVID. But Captain Joe, you know, came in last week with, what's it called? RSV or something?
Yeah, one of those anagrams.
Three-letter identifier things. But anyway, I've got the same thing. And I feel fine. I just sound bad and I'm sleepy because I can't sleep. But otherwise, that's all I've been up to.
Well, you look good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Of course, I'm covered up with a mask.
I can't see you, but you look
good. That's probably why.
That's right.
I have to do this more often. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Thank you.
You're in your back so much.
All back is wonderful. That's tremendous. Just wonderful.
That's great. Yeah. Kevin.
Well, I have to say that I was looking out the side door, and I'm happy to report that the daylily shoots are just now starting to emerge from the ground. So looking forward to the longer and warmer days leading into spring. But I do have to say that, and it's very appropriate that we have folks here from the community council, because this is the culmination of a year of conceptualizing 3 or 4 months of outreach to the various Vashon environment and climate-oriented organizations on the island. And 8 of them, in addition to myself, have identified some legislative outcomes that they would like to see this legislative session. And at the council meeting, I'm sure we're going to be talking about that this Thursday, you'll have a chance to see what's on the minds of these local leaders who want to help the climate and address climate change. So at the council, which we'll be talking about.
That's great. Bruce is not with us as yet. What have I been up to? I have been working on our aeroplane. It's annual time where we take the plane apart and put it back together again. And so I've been crawling around inside and outside, opening up panels and getting it ready for an inspection so that when we get up in the air, it stays up in the air.
It would be a novel.
That would be a novel concept. Yeah. That's a novel concept.
Well, eventually. And at least as long as you want it to stay there. Right?
Appropriately, yes. That's right.
Scheduling and everything.
That's right.
Okay.
Diane.
Yes.
What about you? Have you been working on nothing but the community council, or have you got other things going on?
It feels like I've been working on nothing but the community council. There's so much going on right now. But I have done a couple of interesting things. I gave a talk at the Land Trust on native plants. I went out, Michael, Lori, and I, my husband, and I went out, and in this new forest that we purchased a year or so ago, we have some massive ivy growing up, old cedar trees.
Yeah, so you've been
and
cutting them, huh?
I cut out ivy that was 8 inches in diameter.
Oh, wow.
My gosh. 8 inches in diameter.
That'll take a tree down. Yeah.
So I'm really, really glad we're,
good work.
We're getting these things off these trees.
Yeah, I mean, some people think, oh, that's so pretty and cool, but oh, they're vicious. They'll do a lot of damage.
I have to throw in one. Last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, anyway, my daughter had the same issue of ivy growing up one of her beautiful maple trees. And I was over there cutting, I mean, like you, it wasn't 8 inches, but big stuff, you know. And I'm cutting away and hacking, and I thought, is someone running a chainsaw? What am I hearing? I hear this chainsaw. No, I'd gotten into a ground hornet nest.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And the darn things were all around my head. Of course, I took off running, and they stung me all over. Mm-hmm. But so be careful when you're removing ivy. It's dangerous.
Yep.
Thank you.
Last but certainly not least.
Yes.
Jessica, what have you been up to?
I have been volunteering for chess club at Chautauqua School. I've been taking my daughter to tennis lessons up at the country club. I've been advocating with a campaign for trauma-informed policy and practices and creating a new vision for our 118th Congress.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to the opening of the new Swiftwater Gallery over here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I went to the opening that soft opening on First Friday.
I believe they're going to have some indigenous elders there to speak.
Really?
In February and the First Friday, which I think is really important in honoring that name.
Right.
And the history here in our community.
Yeah, wow. We interviewed them. What was it, last week? Or the week before? I think maybe it was 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
But they... that's a great spot and one that just cries out for a group, a co-op like they have there. I thought it was fantastic.
So Jessica, are you an artist or are you just you're a supporter of the arts?
Well, you know, I grew up here, and so when we were up at Burton, starting in Burton, and then the North End Elementary School where Harbor School is now, we had the most amazing artists in residence every year, and it was really the highlight of my childhood. You know, the watercoloring and clay, and some of those artists are still really active in our community. So I'm looking forward to just kind of immersing myself more in our community culture with art. And it sounds like they're going to have an education space, which is so wonderful when we can bring the children in to learn from
fantastic.
Our community artists. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jess, you're involved in the chess. Tell me more about chess. Are you a chess player yourself?
Well, you know, I was just telling someone my dad really ruined chess for me as a kid because he learned he could outweigh me. He would sit there at the board and take 30 minutes for one move, and eventually I would get...
You'd get bored and leave,
you know,
right?
And then it would be like, oh, you know, still to this day, I will only play him if we have a timer. But I really love watching the kids learn all of their different strategies and really it's a game of equity and mutual respect and losing with humility. So I feel like those are just really good lessons for my daughter and my children.
All right. Harkens back to my days in the chess club at my local high school. And I do remember the highlight of that was that there was a well-known opening that you could actually checkmate your opponent in four moves.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and I was actually playing the top-tier person on the – and he fell for it completely. Oh. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I'm trying to be like, keep my heart rate down. And he looked at me and said, how did you do that? anyway, it's a fascinating game of strategy and sort of
it is.
Engagement.
Were there other things you did this last week? That list you gave us was made me feel like such an underachiever.
I'm actually a single mother of three children, so every week is an overachievement of flexibility.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, let's get into it, our small talk segment. This is, you know, we're talking about the Vashon Mori Community Council, which has been around in some form or another for around 100 years, almost exactly 100 years by some people's measurement. Although we were sans a community council, we were without a community council for nearly 20 years until, just about 2 years ago or so, I guess it is. And now we're back in business. So with that, let me, Jessica, start out with you on this one rather than saving you for last. Mm-hmm. Before we get into specifically about the council, tell us a little bit about your background and the reason why you have gotten involved in the council.
Well, I think I mentioned I have three children who are all school age growing up here, and they're actually fifth generation Islanders. My great-grandfather worked with the Japanese farmers, and my grandmother was a Vashon school teacher for 28 years who lost her childhood friend when she was taken to the internment camps and did not ever return. So my grandmother spoke about how losing her friend really created a lifelong passion for social justice and equity. And it also shaped my desire to honor my family's legacy of service here to our community on the island and to get more involved. As far as this particular committee, I feel like we've really been looking at continued destabilization of rural communities and the infrastructure. And part of that is really maximizing our human infrastructure, which includes supporting all areas of service professions, ferry workers, postal workers, firefighters, police officers. And I'm hoping that our community can outreach and connect our community through individual community narratives and stories, and that we can maximize supports and resources to really benefit the most impacted by harm in our community, but also to really build our community capacity for self-reliance and care.
Wow, those are laudable, ideas. Are you going to jump in there, Trina?
I just have a quick question. I've never heard this term. What was it again? It was human infrastructure?
Human infrastructure. So I just actually got that term on a Native American Indigenous rights for children trying to reestablish forms of self-governance, sovereignty, and educational systems that actually work for Indigenous cultures.
Wow.
And so one of the things they talked about, self-governance and self-reliance, is we have to maximize human infrastructure. And really, you know, we have to take care of each other. And especially, you know, in our service professions with our nurses and our teachers. And I was never allowed to complain about the ferry growing up, right?
Yeah.
My grandmother said, this inconvenience is why we have the wonderful life that we have. Yeah. The ferry workers are our most important job on the island. We respect them. We honor them. They're the ones who take care of us. We never disrespected our ferry workers. We always understood that they were our most important lifeline, and we never complained.
So well, that's interesting, though.
Those are great lessons. Yeah, yes. I mean, those are the lessons you do learn from your grandparents or whatever, that sense of justice is, and fairness, it can really be ingrained in you and hold you in good stead. And the focus that you have, it's something that it seems like in this modern day and age, and sometimes in our political culture, is we've seen less and less of. So I like the idea that you're furthering more and more of that. Good for you.
Thank you so much.
Diane.
Yeah.
What got you involved? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how and why you got involved in the community council.
Okay. I spent most of my life in Minnesota. I was born in Wisconsin. And often people would say, people who didn't live in Minnesota, why are you living here? It's full of mosquitoes in the summer and terribly cold in the winter. Why would anyone want to live here? And I didn't really have a good answer for that. Yeah. And
those headwaters do have a lot of big mosquitoes.
Oh,
there, don't they?
Boy. and many of them.
Yes.
So, but after quitting the corporate life, I was director of marketing for a Fortune 500 company in Minnesota. I traveled a lot and moved to New Zealand, where I now have dual citizenship between the U.S. and New Zealand.
Wow.
Then I spent 7 years traveling again as a nomadic volunteer, no home anywhere, just volunteering around the world. And that is how I ended up on Vashon. I came here to volunteer for the family camp, the nonviolent communication family camp put on every year by Islanders Doug Dolstead and Barbara Larson.
Mm.
And this was the most beautiful place in the world. And I'd been around the world a lot. And so there, I found no place in the world that has so much beauty and wilderness so close to a major metropolitan area. And I decided, even though I should be spending my life in, you know, the slums of Calcutta and doing volunteer work, I decided to stay in Vashon. See what I could do here.
Oh, yeah. Such a tremendous endorsement.
Yeah, that is.
We hopefully see out our door every day.
It's kind of like the back doors of Calcutta or this island, you know? I mean, there's that. That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
And, you know, you fly over the island, and it's amazing how much is still rural and still forested. I mean, it's
70% forest,
yeah,
I've been told.
It's surprising. I believe that. It's amazing.
Totally, totally amazing place. Yeah.
That is a the two of you, we are very lucky to have you both on the board of the community council with that kind of background and that dedication to the to Vashon Island.
Can I tell you how I got on the community
council? Yes, please do. Please do.
So I met and married Michael Laurie, a longtime Islander, and Susan Reamer, when mm-hmm. she was editor of the Beachcomber, wrote twice about the need for a community council on the island. Mm-hmm. And I'd always read the Beachcomber, and I'd read those articles, and I'd say, yeah, what a great idea. We need something like that here. I didn't know about the history at all, because I came here in 2012, 13. But I remember saying to my husband, Michael, you know, if anyone starts a community council here on the island, I want to be involved. I think I could help. Mm-hmm. So then when David Vogel came back to the island after being away for a number of years, looked around and said, what? There's no community council here? So he put an article in the Beachcomber that called people together to start it up again. And I saw the article and said, I'm in, and haven't missed a meeting since. And wow, that was in late 2019.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So that's more than 2 years.
It's over 3 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I got involved in the council.
And I know you have been there since the very
Since the absolute
inception.
Beginning the, of the renewal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Right. I'm old enough. I was there since the beginning of the community council.
Wait a minute.
Well, how's the reinvigoration and the recreation of the council been going over the last 3 or so years?
It's been a lot of work by many, many people, but it's really coming together well now. Here's an example. We had 72 people attend our meeting in December.
Wow.
Now, that is a really big number for Vashon. Well, a big number that doesn't involve a party and food anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's a big number for the King County Council. I don't know if you've ever gone over there to the council meetings, but you're lucky if there's 10 or 12 people there.
Well, that's my understanding of most things, you know, because these aren't fun meetings. These are work and controversy and they're not the kind of thing, oh, let's go have some fun and go to a community council meeting.
Mm.
I mean, so it's not surprising that it's hard to get people to show up. But the post office issue really brought them out.
Yeah,
sure. I'll bet. I'll bet it has. And have you had growing pains or organizational issues that you've had to address?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
When we first got going, we were your typical 501c3 nonprofit, but it became clear after a little bit that if we to be more effective as an advocate for the island, it would be better if we were a 501c4 organization with no limits on our ability to advocate for legislation,
mm-hmm.
for example. And so we started over again as a 501c4. We couldn't just easily switch. We had to really start over again, which is why we have a different name now. We had to start a new organization to get that 501c4 status.
Okay.
And so we had both the organizations running for a bit until we have the status of 501c4, and it's running. And we're there now, up and running as a 501c4. And we've got a new website, new bylaws, new standing rules, and it's set. I'm pleased with how it's come together.
Good. I remember, and we may get to this a little more in a second, but I remember one of the issues in the past, as the community council became more, formal, people were concerned about how they can participate. And participation was somewhat stifled by roadblocks as to how you proceeded with the formal rules that some people wanted to have. You know, the motion procedure and the and how you raise new issues. Now you've made that a little easier, have you not? Because you haven't adopted the traditional Roberts rules of procedure.
No, when we were getting going again, someone said, you know, the last community council, sometimes Roberts rules of order seemed like they were being used as a weapon. And I heard that, and I thought, oh, maybe there's some alternative. So I went and looked for an alternative and found one. Oh. The democratic rules of order. Mm-hmm. Which were written to for smaller organizations and to make it easier to run a meeting and so forth. And it's now being used by tens of thousands of organizations around the world. It's been out there, I think, since 1985 or so. Yes, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, and I'd say if you've never had the opportunity to read the Democratic Rules of Order, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that you would, like, spend your time doing in an afternoon. But the one thing that I was really impressed with is right up front, they talk about some of the principles of democracy. And, of course, we've had folks like Karen Hogan on from SQUIM, and the mayor of their town was a QAnon advocate, talking about democracy, talking about fairness and equity and outreach. The Democratic Rules of Order really do resonate around that. So, you know, if you have time, check it out.
Yeah, the rules can be weaponized, as one of our favorite terms these days, it seems like, in the news. And you either need to have something like the Democratic Rules, which I'm a big advocate of, or you need a benevolent dictator like yourself, Diane.
Thank you.
who's running the meetings and is tremendously fair-handed. So if you got both, it's golden.
Yeah, you still need to learn, you know, how motions are made and that process is still there. But boy, it is so, so much simpler
it's
than
lot,
Democratic.
It's lots less threatening.
Than the other one. Yes,
yeah,
far less.
It really encourages participation. Yeah. What's the goal of the community council? What's your mission or goal? Why? I mean, you said that, Diane, you said that the that if there's going to be, you know, a community council started up, you wanted to be a part of it. Why do you think a community council is important? And either of you are welcome to jump in and give us your quick opinion on that. Oh, I say that. Yeah, we're getting this isn't television, but we're getting the fingers pointed in both directions, sort of thing.
Oh, I'm happy to read our mission statement. This, and I'll just read it as it's stated in our bylaws and in our brochure. This council exists to help the people of Vashon Maury Island address island issues. The council operates as a participatory, nonpartisan forum, sometimes called town meeting. That's not very threatening, is it? It aims to represent the interests of the Vashon Maury Island community to King County and other government and non-governmental organizations in lieu of a municipal government.
Okay, that's good.
I have a big question, of course.
Of course.
And that is,
that's not the question that we have listed a little lower.
Oh, it could be. It could be. I should recognize it. But, well, yeah, it's not, I know it's not a government entity. I mean, I know that answer already, yeah. But... How do you relate to King County government? Do they listen to you? I mean,
they do. John Taylor, who is our basically the person our community reports to within King County, unincorporated King County, mm-hmm. comes to every meeting now.
Oh,
he was
okay.
coming. We were having him come to every other meeting. He said, "Hey, I'm happy to come to every single meeting,"
wow.
And he's doing that. And so we have this opportunity every month to, in person or through Zoom, ask questions of King County, and he's pretty good about following up and getting answers back to us and hearing our complaints. In addition, every other meeting, we have a representative from the Sheriff's Department come to our meetings to give us an update on crime and answer questions about issues. And Captain Heather Volpe is our person right now. Oh, she is amazing.
Oh,
she's
cool.
so good.
Good.
And she will be, both of them will be at this Thursday's meeting. So that's one of the relationships.
Yeah,
the other relationship that we're working on is getting the word out within King County that Vashon has a community council now. So if they want to know how the islanders feel about a particular thing that affects us, mm-hmm. the word's getting out that they really need to come and bring these things to the community council for our opinion.
Kevin.
Yeah, and I have it just to add on to that. Rachel Brombaugh has now left King County, but she was like reporting to the executive on environment issues. And I had a chance to work with Rachel over a couple of years and asked her about the council. And if I walk in to an elected official and say, well, I really think this thing should happen, I said, Rachel, what if I also have the endorsement of the Vashon Mori Community Council? She said, it matters. Mm. So we can definitely bring a more powerful voice, I think, through this process.
So you're not a government agency, but your power comes from numbers and the fact that you're an organization. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, the power comes from numbers and the fact that we're an organization, and we have the power of the people who are interested in working on issues and sharing their voice and speaking up and in a group and not just one or two people.
Okay, that brings up the next question, and that is how do you ensure, or do you ensure, that you're representing all of the island? When you just have the people that come to the meeting, I mean, do you have any mechanism for vetting some of the ideas that you are putting forward? Or do you have to be attending to get your voice heard?
You have to attend to get your voice heard.
Yeah.
And you have to, if there's a vote, you have to be a member to vote.
And how does that happen?
Well, membership is free. Mm-hmm. And there are no obligations, but you must be a full or part-time resident of the island. You mm-hmm. can't be someone who...
came from off-island.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. You can't show up on a Zoom meeting from anywhere in the world and say, yeah, I'm going to vote. No.
Okay.
You can show up on a Zoom meeting and be a member, and we check the membership list to determine who's members or not. But it's free, and you have to be 18 years of age or older. And you have to give us your Vashon Mori Island mailing address mm-hmm. and an email address, too.
A lot of it depends on who shows up.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the world is run by those who
place.
Show up.
Right, exactly.
So how to guarantee that everybody's voice is heard? That's pretty impossible.
You've made it open and available to everybody.
Free. And it has been suggested that we charge membership. And I've said, absolutely not. No barriers to this group.
And I would ask Diane, just to clarify for folks listening, how do they register for the council?
They can, if they go to our website, and there's a place where they can fill out a form to become a member. And that will go to me. And I will add you to the membership list.
And that website is?
vmcc.org.
I was going to ask that question specifically because it's a little confusing when you go on Google. You'll end up with two websites.
Both websites are there now simply because a lot of the history of the previous organization and the minutes and so forth are still on the old website.
Okay. Are you making a transition to
yes,
one?
Yes, we're transitioning, and it's going to be a lot better because one of the things we're doing is with the minutes and the presentations that have been given, which are chock full of wonderful information, we're setting it up so that you can search on the website for topics of interest. So all of those documents will be... have topics assigned to them so that when you do a search, you'll be able to pull up either meetings where we discussed something or a presentation that was given at a meeting in your area of interest.
Okay. So let me ask you this, just to clarify. You talked about membership. The council has what, like three different kind of groups? It has the board, it has... voting members and non-voting members. Is that right?
No, there's no non-voting members.
Okay. Okay.
If you're a member, if you sign on and say, I want to be a member and I live here,
right.
You are a voting member.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. Could you get me the address one more time?
I'm
trying to find it here.
V as in Vashon.
Yeah.
Dash M as in Mary. CC.
Okay.
.org.
I got it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so it's easy to be a member. And so we encourage people to join as members. We have 200 members, and we have 500 people on our mailing list.
Okay.
Right now.
And how many board members do you have right now?
We have 6 board members right now.
How many can you have?
We can have 12.
Are you looking for potential board members?
We are. You interested? I heard you told me you were president once, so hey, come on back.
Very experienced candidate. Right
very,
at the
very
table.
Experienced candidate.
I'll think about it. And I'd encourage individuals to become, you know, that's the other thing, because we talked a little bit about where does the power of the community council come from. And I can remember there's sometimes an issue when somebody becomes a board member. They go, wait a minute, I don't have the kind of power that I thought I was going to have, you know, as a board member. And I always said to them, well, you have quite a bit of power. I mean, just by setting the agenda, you have power. By spinning things off to committees, you have power. Really, quite a bit, if power is what you're interested in.
If power is what you're interested in, right. Yeah.
So, yes, Truman.
All right, I've got to be the devil's advocate here. Hearkening back to the...
be gentle.
I will. Hearkening back to the 118th Congress in the House of Representatives recently, there was a group that took over the agenda. And I'm wondering, how do you guard against that sort of thing happening?
How do we guard against the agenda for the board meetings for
a group of people coming in with a specific agenda and wanting
they
to...
They call it hijacking.
Yeah, right. There you go.
How do you stop hijacking the platform?
How do you guard against that sort of thing? Or can you?
Well, let's take a typical meeting of the community council. Mm-hmm. First of all, the agenda is sent out at least 10 days in advance of the meeting. And it's sent out again like a couple of days in advance of the meeting. I just sent it out this morning. And that agenda is up for a review and approval by everybody who attends the meeting. I suppose it is possible for a group of people who are islanders become members and propose and vote on a change in the agenda. Mm-hmm. And if they can get enough people to actually be members and show up, they can do that. Yeah. And that's okay.
Okay. That's the nature of democracy.
Yes. Yeah,
no, I agree.
Sometimes things happen that some people aren't real happy about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the majority does rule.
And if the word gets out that happened, I tell you what, the next month they're going to have a lot more people there.
That's right.
The pitchforks and torches are coming out, right?
the votes. That's
yeah,
all.
No, I'm
that's
kidding.
All we need.
And you do, I think, as part of your policies or rules, talk about how you really do require people to be courteous and respectful to one another during.
Absolutely.
There's no shouting and calling people names.
Boy, that's different.
Well, shouting always happened, but calling people's names is not acceptable.
Yes.
Kevin.
Well, the other thing I'll say is the democratic rules of order, that last word is really important.
Order.
The process, the tools, if you will, that the chair has to manage order are pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunity to not.
Do you have a sergeant in arms?
Not needed yet, but you know, so many people show up on Zoom, I can mute people.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
The power of the button.
There you go.
That's when you want your benevolent president. Do you have standing committees?
We don't call them standing committees. The Washington State just revised its laws for nonprofits these laws had not been revised for 50 years, 50,
wow.
And they were revised last year. And they have two types of committees for a nonprofit organization, and we're just going right along with what the state talks about. There are advisory committees to the board, and there are committees of the board. Standing doesn't come into play at all. If that means it's a permanent thing, the communications committee, which is a committee of the board, is a standing, could be called a standing committee. But we try not to get too many terms in there that aren't clear and mix things up. Like there was people talk about the executive board. Well, we don't have an executive board. So I'm trying to keep all the terms
Yeah.
very
simplify.
Similar. Yeah,
exactly.
Simplify
There's
things.
No need to to be like a legal law review article.
Yeah, so I don't know what a standing committee is really.
Well, it's just what are the committees of the board?
There are two committees of the board right now. There's the communications committee and there's the ways and means committee.
Okay.
And those have to have at least two board members on them, and only the board members can vote on them.
Okay, but other members of the council can and are encouraged to be on those committees, I assume.
Yes, as volunteers.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what about advisory? What do you have advisory committees?
Yes,
right now?
The equity committee is an advisory committee. The affordable housing committee is an advisory committee. There's a new committee called the Clean Clothes Committee, which is a committee set up to try to get a laundromat back on the island.
Mm-hmm.
There is the, let's see, what else have we got? Help
ferry,
everybody.
Ferry post advisory. Office?
The Ferry Advisory Committee, the Post mm-hmm. Office Committee. Mm-hmm. We may have an AmeriGas Committee. Yeah, so those are advisory committees, people who are want to work on a particular issue and help get it resolved. For us all.
Well, I think that, you know, very clearly when we're talking about destabilization of the infrastructure, that we have to have all those advisory committees right now should be noted.
Right.
You know, our police, you know, we have our ferry workers are struggling and our ferry system is struggling and our post office is struggling. We have islanders having trouble getting glass. We don't have a laundry facility. You know, clearly Diane has really put a lot of effort into focusing our committee on really what our community needs.
So those are very much working committees then, are they not?
Yes, they are. And there's a whole list of like 15 additional potential committees that are just waiting for someone to lead them. That's the problem.
While we're on committees, Jessica, you had talked a little bit about your... lessons in life from your grandmother and other family members about social justice and equity. And you are the board's liaison, I guess, to the council's Equity, Social, and Justice Inclusion and Inclusion Committee. Are there any goals that you hope that the committee can achieve?
Well, you know, and I spoke to this a little bit earlier about really maximizing what we can do in partnership with King County and accessing resources for our community. But, you know, more than that, I think I saw on your resume that you do international conflict resolution. And I'm a really big believer in conflict resolution. Growing up, you know, my grandmother was Republican and my father was Democratic and my aunt was adopted from the Assiniboine tribe and one uncle went to work for national intelligence over in Germany and then my dad, you know, fought against the KKK in Texas and just even the way that I grew up was constant conflict in diversity of thought, in diversity of opinions, in diversity of perceptions. And we argued it out and we loved each other. And we were all good people, regardless of our differences. And so I really miss that in our community, in that we should be able to respect a democratic practice in which we can have a diversity of opinion and perspectives and really prioritize our community's needs.
That's fabulous. If there's anything that the council can do and you can do and your committee can do to help develop a culture of communication and understanding and patience and kindness and love, boy, you will have accomplished a tremendous amount. So that's fabulous. You know, I'm just curious what the council, what you feel your accomplishments have been in the last 3 years, or which areas you feel like you've made progress in. Do you have some things that you can tell us about?
Well, I must say that having two meetings every single month for 3 years where the public is either encouraged or allowed to attend is a pretty big accomplishment.
That's true.
Just that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the space for people to come together as a community and talk about issues and discuss these issues that are affecting us and having the possibility, a very good possibility, of people saying, okay, who's going to work on this? And making that happen. That doesn't happen on Facebook.
No, it doesn't.
No.
That this just putting these meetings together and encouraging people to come and find out about this community that we live in and talk to each other about issues is a huge accomplishment, I think. In addition to that, David Vogel has worked with King County to get garbage cans put in Vashon Town Center and emptied by the county.
Wow.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. You know, it's interesting. This is a topic for another day because, again, you have people on the island that go, well, a community council, why not a municipality? Why not a city? Why not a new county? Why not a annexing ourselves to a some First People? You know, I mean, everything rather than a community council. You know, if we want to be able to do this, and we want to be able to tell the county that we want to do that. And I don't mean to open up this can of worms, but I don't know if early on you looked into that. You picked the community council a line, that road. And frankly, I did look into it for 2 years with a committee many years ago, and we agreed that the community council route was the way to go. So, but at the same time, people do wonder, what can you accomplish? And you pointed out, just getting together and having people come in and talk about these things is a tremendous accomplishment. The old community council, let me just mention this real quickly. The gravel pit basically ended because of the community council. Sharon Nelson came to a meeting. And she goes, I've got this issue. And I said, well, here, we'll help you out, form a committee. And that was the beginning of that whole thing. We had a rocket scientist who used to live right up the street here on the north side of town, Bill Morisoff. He came into the council one day and he goes, you know, we should have a radio station on Vashon. And the community council encouraged him and the committee that he formed to form the beginnings of that right-hand turn as you're coming south on Bank Road. I mean, on the main highway, on the Bank Road. There was no turn there, so, you know, the turning lane. So you had to wait until all of the traffic made it through the intersection before. Little things, big things, and it was all accomplished the way you're trying to do it. Because of the power of the people and the fact that the county commissioners county executive listened to that. I remember Greg Nichols used to say when he was our council representative, he'd come and he would go, you don't have the biggest population, but you probably have the biggest voice.
Yeah. He told me once that we take up more of the community council's time than any other group.
Yeah, county council, right?
Yeah, yeah, in the country. I mean, it's just because we have a loud voice and unified voice. So, and you know, that's important.
Well, again, I guess if people want to become involved in the council, that the place to go is to the website.
To begin with, yes, because you can get a lot of information there, and you can just sign up to be on the mailing list if you don't want to be a member, and then you will be invited to the meetings.
If you want to put your toe in the water.
Yeah, and that's why we've got 500 people on the mailing list and 200 members, because right. You've got a lot of people with their toes in the water still.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when is your next meeting?
This Thursday.
Okay. And the meeting is both in person and on Zoom?
Indeed.
Okay. And the Zoom connection, is that on the website?
That's on the website.
All right.
And you're meeting at?
And the physical meeting is at the Land Trust Building.
Okay. Oh. Right on Bank Road,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's the case for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice facility for this kind of meeting.
And mm-hmm. People should show up at?
The meeting begins at 7 o'clock, so people should show up a little bit before then.
So, in conclusion, we could go on talking about these things forever, but are there some other things you want to add or tell us or clarify for us here before we move on to the final few minutes of?
I'd say, Jessica, do you have anything that you'd like to add or clarify while I'm thinking about that?
No, just that I've been incredibly grateful for the people that we have that we're working with, and just what amazingly good intentions they have for our community and the experience that they bring to the table. And it's been, you know, really awesome to work with such dedicated individuals like Kevin and Diane on this.
There is something I'd like to say about this upcoming meeting. We are going to have a representative from Pramila Jayapal's office at this meeting so that we can share with her what we would like Pramila to help us with the post office.
Mm-hmm.
But I've asked her, and she's agreed to stay for the entire meeting. So she's going to hear about our concerns about the aviation noise, about AmeriGas, about other issues that are coming up, and our environmental concerns. So I'm delighted that she will be there. But also, we're also going to have people from SeaTac there and the Port of Seattle to give a presentation about the air aviation noise, because there was a study was done for a year on Vashon, and they're finally getting around to presenting the results of that. So with John Taylor, we have so many people coming at this meeting.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That sounds like a if you're going to check out a meeting, check out the one coming up on Thursday.
And you meet second and fourth. What is the?
It's the board meets the first Thursday of the month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the community meets the third Thursday of the month.
Right. And the board meetings start, I think, at 7:30.
Board meetings start at 7:30.
Got it. Yeah.
Are the board meetings open?
Yes.
Okay.
But to avoid confusion, we don't list the link in the website. People just need to email me, and I'll send them the link and the agenda.
The board, and you've decided, I can't let this go.
What?
You decided sort of on your own that it would be good to have all these, the board meeting open, although the law doesn't require you to have the board meeting open.
No, the law doesn't require us to have the board meeting open, but it's part of the being democratic and trying to be as transparent and as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, because the Open Public Meetings Act doesn't apply to you because you're not a government agency.
Thank goodness. Right.
Yeah. Saving grace.
I understand what you're talking about. That. Well, thank you both.
Absolutely.
And you, Kevin, because you're very active in the community council.
I've been known to be involved, yeah.
Yes. There are very few things you're not involved in, Kevin. And we appreciate all you do. We really do, because it's a wonderful opportunity to bring good things to the island and things that people are interested in and want done. And, you know, it was interesting. We had an agreement with the county. I don't know if you could get this agreement, but we had an agreement with the county that if they had any, quote, significant activity they were going to engage in that affected islanders, they would notify the council before they would take any action.
That's exactly what I want to set up.
Okay. Okay. You have to be careful about that, because you do that a little bit too much and people start arguing you're an agency of the county. So, but, you know, lawyers can do all kinds of crazy things. Being a lawyer, I know that.
I was thinking you're speaking from experience.
Yes, I am. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we've got only about, 12 minutes or so?
Oh, no. Seven minutes.
We've got about 7 minutes left. Please stay around. You may not want to jump in on the conversation, because sometimes we take political positions. Or if you have to go.
I need to go prune somebody's trees.
I understand. I understand. Right.
Thanks
you.
For being
thank
here.
You very, very
thank
much.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
And Jessica, you're certainly welcome to stay if you'd like.
I have another commitment.
All right.
Go for it.
Really, thank you both so much for having me today.
You're very welcome.
I got to tell you, it's really wonderful to sit with people who I have history with in the community. And
yeah, thank you for the work you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really tremendous. All right. Okay. Kevin, Truman, Craig, do we want to take on the new House of Representatives Republican majority?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, do we. Let me add.
Well, let's talk about the first major drip distraction that it seems to be at the top of the news, and it's President Biden's documents that seem to be popping up all over the place. What do you think about that? The investigation into Biden's possession of classified documents, and is it the same as Trump?
Well, you're looking right at me. You know, I, as we've previously discussed, I'm the chair of the council's Equity, Inclusion, and Social Justice Committee. So the equity part, in my opinion, the Justice Department needs to operate to pursue any potential violations of the law and hold them folks accountable if they've been found to be in violation. I think, frankly, that the best thing that could happen is that both the investigation into the situation with former president and the current president proceed in parallel so people can see for themselves these things that are similar and the vast, vast differences and what the actual charges are. Because possession of a classified document is not a good thing, but it's not necessarily against the law. Mistakes are made. And in the work that I did over 30-some plus years of filling out lots of SF-86 forms, which Truman knows all about, you know, you were, if a mistake was made, but otherwise you have good intent, you get a warning. If you fail again to abide by the rules and regulations, you get another warning. Usually by the third time around that you've made a mistake, they realize you might not be the right kind of person that should have access to these documents.
But you don't lose necessarily, your clearance, you know.
You could lose your clearance, but you probably don't suffer any criminal penalties.
Right.
However, if you're intending to remove documents, store them, and do who knows what with them, then the situation's entirely different. And I think that's the situation that we're probably going to be looking at here.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. There does seem to be a dramatic difference between the two, at least initially, as we look at this. But the ammunition that it gives to one side to say, well, wait a minute, what about the old what about a deal? And the fact that I agree, two separate special counsel probably was the most appropriate way to go, but what it does to a certain degree is it creates a false equivalency.
Yeah.
You know, there's a special counsel for Trump, there's a special counsel for Biden, it's all really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much for critical thinking.
Well, but the way the media works these days,
that's right,
and social media, et cetera, and the fact that, you know, we're not all like 40 years ago, you know, learning from the same news sources.
Right.
That have a sense of equity, and the fact that the what's the clause that went away, the fairness doctrine, that thing, it really kind of saved us from being able to go off into these sort of bywaters of news and not hear the whole story. So I've thought through this. In my opinion, maybe something better will come up. But yeah, I'd really think that a clear distinction between these two cases by moving them forward in parallel might be the best thing to help educate all of us.
It is a shame, though, that it's kind of the drip, drip, drip of the information. Every morning I get up and I go, oh, we found three more documents, you know, in the back of President Biden's Corvette.
Yeah. We're not hearing that he hid 10 more.
No,
right?
No. They haven't found any documents in the back of Biden's Corvette.
<That's>
I didn't want to get the... We've got all kinds of activities by the House of Representatives now. They want to investigate the investigators. They want to investigate the FBI. They want to expunge one of Trump's impeachments. There's lots of. They don't particularly want to move real quickly on the removal of Mr. Santos, who's the never-ending source of memes. I don't know. Where are we going to go here, Kevin?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that there's no criminal enterprise that I know of who doesn't want to somehow remove power from those who implement the law.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just keep that in mind when it comes to, you know, which law enforcement agencies you choose to support or not support with funding or what have you. So the weaponization of the U.S. government is what the Republicans are calling it. And others have called it the ability to promote, insurrections or the ability to do cover-up. We'll see how it turns out. But, I think it's just super, super important that we recognize who has the vested interests? Whose values are being shown here? Who's really aligned with the law, a law-based republic that we have?
Yeah, in the last few seconds, I just find it fascinating as I look at the shifting sands, in a sense. Do you remember how back in the 60s and 70s, how we were really trying to defund the progressives were trying to a certain degree cut down on the defense budget. Mm-hmm. And now we have the right wing that wants to cut down on the defense budget. And the Democrats and even the progressives are saying, no, we've got to support defense, we've got to support the Ukrainians. So it's just fascinating the way that shifts back and forth. So I think that's it. And I want to thank all of you, Kevin, Truman, myself, and hope you can join us next Tuesday for the Brown Briefly, when we're going to have Abel Eckert and Tom Dean on behalf of the Vashon-Morey Island Land Trust.
Absolutely. See you then.
Thank you.
Have a good week.